Now, it's time to go deep for the exclusive info you need on the hockey team you love. This is Preds Insiders with your host, Robbie Stanley, on your flagship home of the Predators Radio Network, Smashville's best sports talk,
ESPN
102.5.
And welcome in to another edition of Preds Insiders here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. As always, I'm your host, Robbie Stanley. Hope everybody's doing well. Preds Insiders brought to you by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling. The Nashville Predators in the middle of a big week, and it's not gone overly well so far. You get shut out on the road on Monday night, at least getting to overtime and getting the point against the St. Louis Blues. And then last night, Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl, and the Edmonton Oilers take down the Predators 6-3 at Bridgestone Arena. McDavid with 31 points, 9 goals, 22 assists in 18 career games against the Predators. And Leon Draisaitl, 35 points, 22 goals, 13 assists in 22 career games against the Predators. They continue their dominance against the Predators last night at Bridgestone Arena. And that's where we'll begin today on the show. The Preds are 12-12-3. They're out of a playoff spot right now, 5 points heading into action tonight in the NHL outside of a playoff spot. And the question is, how do they fix it? Can they fix it as they move forward here? Here was a conversation we had earlier this morning on Robbie and Rex Road.
And another tough one last night in this matchup for the Predators against the Edmonton Oilers. Joe, that is a matchup that has not gone very well for the Predators over the course of the past few years, and it did not go well again last night. Edmonton wins 6-3 on the road against the Predators. Leon Draisaitl, who going into the game had 30 points in 21 games against the Predators in his career, including 20 goals, added 5 points to the total last night with 2 goals and 3 assists. Connor McDavid had 4 points last night with 1 goal and 3 assists. And Joe, it was basically the same old story for the Predators against the Oilers, at least what it's been as of late, which is they have absolutely zero answer for Leon Draisaitl and Connor McDavid out there.
It's incredible. And, these guys, anybody who watches hockey, knows they're amazing players. But if they played the Preds every game, they would be far and away the best two players in the history of the NHL.
Yes, they would take down every one of Gretzky's records.
Yeah, they'd just blow everyone away. It's amazing. Like, again, it's like nothing they're doing, like the stuff they do that stuff. They do that stuff a lot, but it's just guaranteed now against the Preds.
Well, the good news is you got them again coming up next Monday.
Yeah. And last night's game, if you want to, apart from just their dominance, it comes down to the Preds had how many power plays? 5, 6?
I believe five.
Certainly five.
Yeah.
You put the Oilers on the power play, you're
just automatic
toast. And the Preds have reconfigured their power play and all kinds of different stuff going on there. And there were a couple last night that were a couple of the worst power plays I've seen this year from the Preds.
Yeah,
it's bad.
It's bad. We talked about it yesterday. 29th in the league in offense, in goals per game. 29th in the league in the power play heading into the game yesterday. And you reconfigured some things around. They basically, at the start of it, said, you know what? Roman Josi's going to play every last second on the power play out there, which not necessarily a bad strategy. I see what you're trying to do there, but it's just nothing they're doing could work on the power play. It wasn't an extended 5-on-3. It was only 43 seconds of a 5-on-3 power play chance last night. But when you got 5-on-3 power play, you need to score, especially against that team. And like you said, the Predators, I thought, for the most part, did a decent job of staying out of the box last night, although a couple that they took. The Roland McEwen one, it's a trip. It happens. The Jeannot one was stupid. You can't just give the official a reason to call a penalty and put Edmonton on the power play. But really, I thought, for the most part, they did a good job of staying out of the box. But when they didn't stay out of the box, it was automatic. McDavid and Draisaitl both getting it done on the power play.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing. It's like when you have that many more opportunities, that's realistically what you can ask for. You're not going to completely stay out of the box in a game, right?
Right.
So, but ultimately, that's what that was the difference, right, is the special teams. And those guys are – that's the thing is, when I watch them play the Preds, I'm like, are we sure that Draisaitl isn't the actual best player in the NHL? I mean, he is.
He looks really good.
He's
out.
He's ridiculous. Obviously, there's nothing like what McDavid can do, but Dreisaitl is. He's crazy,
unbelievable,
man.
Yeah, I mean, those two together. That's the thing, and I realize a lot of it is also because they're paying those two guys an absurd amount of money, which, by the way, they deserve. But when you're paying two guys that much money, like, it's hard to put a whole lot else around them at forward, and that's what their offense is. Like, you know, Zach Hyman is a good pickup.
He played well last night. He's a nice compliment to them.
Absolutely.
Though.
And yeah. he got the hat trick last night, and – and I'd love to be playing with Leon Draisaitl and Connor McDavid. I think I could go play with those two and pick up 15 points in a year, just them banking it in off my butt. But, like, they're just unbelievable. And you know that – I saw a lot of people last night, like, why is the Predators' third-pair defense out there against McDavid and Draisaitl? Well, they play those guys 26 minutes a game. Like, you can't – that's why you can get matchup problems like that on the road, is because unless you're willing to play your defenseman, you know, 35 minutes and run them into the ground out there, they're going to eventually find some matchup problems that they take advantage of, and that's what they do really well. And they do it very well against the Predators.
But, I mean, even like the McDavid goal, Fabbro, like, was in position.
Yeah, what are you going
to
do?
Fabbro did what you're supposed to do there. It's just, okay, there goes Connor McDavid.
Well, I've said it before. He's the best hockey player I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And I've seen a lot of really good ones. Crosby, Datsyuk, Lidstrom, we can go up and down the list. I didn't see Gretzky in his prime. I'm not that old. But he's the best hockey player I've ever seen. And my God, do they look like it when they play the Predators.
Thank you for naming two of my Red Wings.
You're very welcome.
No, he's absurd. And by the way, Fabbro, there's, you know, if you want to look for a bright spot, I mean, I like.
Great shot from him last night.
Great shot. He's out there throwing himself on the ice. You know, like, I thought, like, there's a guy who is fighting right now. You know, I mean, it's not like it's all just this team that's. Everybody's quit. No effort. Everybody's quit. You know, it's not all that bad. It's just, I mean, they're just, you go one game and you just cannot score. And then you go the next game and you give up six, which actually, I think, didn't I predict six yesterday? I think I did.
I think you did.
Sorry. Everything I'm predicting is coming.
It's going really well right now.
Just shut up, I guess.
Although you did not get Preds pick to collect last night.
I did not.
Nobody did. So.
Yeah, how about that? Three goals and not one correct answer.
That's correct, so. Competition remains the same. Well, I said this yesterday. I mean, we talked about the crossroads conversation with the Predators. I mean, obviously, this week that we've highlighted, it's not off to a great start. You lose in St. Louis in overtime. You can't score a goal in that game. At least you get the point. But then last night at home against Edmonton, you lose that one. So now you've got to go on the road to Winnipeg and on the road to Colorado to close out this week before, oh, by the way, Edmonton comes right back next Monday, and then you've got Chicago and Colorado next week. I mean, the one game that I feel good about right now in terms of them winning is Chicago next week on the road. Winnipeg's going to be a tough game. Colorado's banged up right now, but, I mean, Cale Makar's still out there, and they've still got some guys. Like, this is a point in the season right now where all of a sudden you start to look up in the standings – and you can find yourself in the distance. I mean, right now, they're 5 points out of a playoff spot. Now, granted, Minnesota and a lot of these teams have played more games than the Predators have, just based on the break that they had and the water main break and all that stuff. But right now, they're 5 points out of a playoff spot. They're minus 15 in goal differential. They're 12-12-3 on the season. And quite frankly, Joe, like, to this point, they've been nothing but an average at best and most of the time below average hockey team so far this year. That's the truth of the matter so far.
Yeah, they had – well, look, they looked the best they looked was before this break you just mentioned, you know, for a stretch there. But beyond, take that away, and they're definitely below average. You know, I got a shout out to Will from Bellevue who put a text up at 5:22 in the morning.
Yeah, way to go, Will.
Would you discuss the reasons for the losing streaks the Preds are mired in? Is it Hines, the system, the players, Poile not sending the right players? Obviously, something's wrong on Lower Broadway. They're better than this. Worried about the season unraveling. Should there be any changes? Yeah. I mean, what are the changes right now? I mean, unless you're talking the changes that everybody talks about, fire Poile, fire Hines, fire whoever, fire everybody. But if you're talking about, you know, personnel changes, I would say put Philip Tomasino in the lineup at some point, but
yeah,
I don't know.
I would say that too. I mean, it's getting to the point where it's a little bit ridiculous. Like, I disagree with the decision out of training camp, but I at least understood their thought process there. But, I mean, we're 26 games in. It's time to get guys that can help you offensively out there. So, I don't know what they're going to do on that front. I have no idea what their plan is with Philip Tomasino for the rest of this year. As far as changes are concerned, I mean, look, I said it heading into this year. I am going to view this team through a different lens, just personally, this year than I have the last couple of years, because I think the roster that they've put together should be good enough to be a playoff team, and quite frankly, it should be good enough to be competing for, you know, second, third in the division. And I said that before the season, and right now they're just not. So if it continues this way, I'm leaving my mind open for everything. Any kind of change you want to talk about, I'm leaving my mind open for it if it continues this way.
Yeah, no, look, I mean, I think that's fair. You know, I think you talk about that roster, and I agree with, like, what Willie said yesterday. I mean, ultimately, again, I watched Forsberg closely last night. Like, you got to have more there. Did Duchesne get hurt? Or did Duchesne just get sat down for a lot of the third period?
Well, let me tell you this. If it was the latter and he got sat down, we got to move past that crap. Like, if you're a coach, like, you can't stop. You can't keep doing that. And I know he hadn't done it in a while, but when you need your best players on the ice to try to dig your way out of this, we're past the point of benching people to send a message. If that's the case, then we probably just need to find a new coach, because you can't just be benching your best players. So I have no idea whether or not he benched him or not. I tend to think no, because he got back in the game with
he played 9 minutes left.
He
played in the
so
second half.
It's probably as simple as something happened on the ice, he got banged up, and then he was back out there. But I don't have much time for the benching star players to send a message anymore. You're 5 points out of a playoff spot. Get your players on the ice.
Yeah, I mean, which is kind of goes along with the Tomasino thing. It's like, I understand the want to play a certain way, and there's a standard of all the different things you need to do on the ice. I mean, look, I get that. Also, like, when you're scrounging this much for offense, like, at some point, your most talented players have to be on the ice, right?
We'll continue this discussion coming up next. You're listening to Preds Insiders here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Preds Insiders, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, brought to you by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling. Continuing the discussion on the Predators and where they go from here. Here was more of that conversation this morning on Robbie and Rex Road.
Just hadn't seen it yet. Not saying they can't get there. Not saying they won't turn around. I hadn't seen anything so far that makes me think that they're a playoff team. And a lot of it's the offense, the power play again last night. We've talked about it. It's a struggle. Their offense as a whole right now is a struggle. But you're 12-12-3. And the most concerning part, and like I said, Adam Vingan and I talked about this a couple weeks ago, it just kind of feels like they're getting the results that, for the most part, they deserve out there. And it's not like they're shelling teams offensively and they're running into hot goaltending. I mean, look, quite frankly, I thought Jack Campbell was terrible last night in goal for Edmonton. I mean, the first goal he gave up to Cody Glass may have been the worst sequence of goaltending I've seen in the history of me watching hockey. Like, it was awful. Yeah. Last night.
That's the thing. You get like a freebie, basically, yeah, right from the jump, you know, and then get outscored 6-2 the rest of the way.
Yeah. So my question is, like, can they fix it moving forward? And I don't know. This team, to me, on paper, should be better than this. Secondary scoring should be better than this, which continues to be a problem, although you did get some of that last night, so maybe that's an encouraging sign moving forward here, but I don't know that they can. Like, this has been a very underwhelming year so far for the Predators.
Yeah, look, it's I was with you. It's funny because I should have zagged when everybody was zigging, because last year no one thought they were going to be a playoff team. I was like, I think that looks like a playoff team. But I agree with everybody going in this year. Like, they're better on paper.
Yeah.
And even with the idea that there's going to be regression, yeah, we all knew that. But they just look like – like, everybody's gotten a year older. How many – we were just talking about this during the break. You know, I mean, how many players on this team are past the best hockey of their career? I'd say it's quite a few of them.
There's a lot.
There's still – you know, there are a lot of guys who you could say, you know, like, in that window of prime. But, like, Roman Josi, who's still terrific. I mean, is he going to have a season like last year again? I mean, I think
probably
that's
not
asking a lot. I mean, you go down the list. It's an aging hockey team, and the next wave, it just is not materializing. Tomasino, still in Milwaukee. Tolvanen, he's in Seattle now.
Jeannot's not taking the next step. Like, you know, I still think he's doing a lot of things okay out there, but he's not scoring. Like, at some point, you got to score.
And we mentioned Fabbro, last night. I mean, I think Fabbro, you know, is in there battling, but Fabbro's not at all what Fabbro is supposed to be,
yep.
Right? And blow it for Bedard.
Maybe so. Maybe that's the way to go. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Mike from Gallatin. Mike, thanks for calling in.
Thanks, guys. So the head-scratching from this front office and the coaching, it's been started with last year, and it's kind of just like you guys have talked a lot about this morning. It just continued on and on. But what bugged me the most this week, I guess what it started off with, was the announcing of just outright waving Tolvanen. When they started moving him down to the third and the fourth line, and he was only getting like 6 minutes of ice time last year, and they were literally just throwing him, essentially like throwing spaghetti against the wall, just trying to get him to stick with somebody and get it to work. That was a sign for me that like they almost given up on him altogether. I wish they would have traded him for something, a bag of chips, some pucks, something, because again, that's just another one of those promising young players that again we are either watching just play in Milwaukee or are just being thrown to the wayside. I know that like because of the consistency that the Predators have had by going to the playoffs, we don't get the benefit of having the Connor McDavid or like you said, the Connor Bedard opportunities that are coming around. But like the young guys that we do have that they're talking about, if it's time for them to be given a shot. And it's time for them to be used or traded with, you know, or packaged with other guys or something to try to go out there and get some offense. Because man, this is not working. What's out there right now? So guys like Igor Afanasyev and Tomasino and anybody over there in Milwaukee that's scoring goals should be headed over this direction. Because man, we're stale as no get out over here. It's embarrassing. So yeah, it was just a combination of the not getting anything from the Tolvanen situation. And then just the pure lack of just, I guess, scoring talent that you got to, I guess, you know, similar to what the Titans have going on, you got to look at the top down.
Yeah.
And say, hey, what's up?
Hey, thanks for the call, Mike. I mean, the Tolvanen thing, we've talked a lot about that yesterday. Bottom line is, Joe, and this has been something that I think has been a fair criticism of the Predators really ever since they've got here. And some of it is to their own credit because they've been good enough to not be in the situation. And some of it, I think that excuse gets worn out a little bit. Like, you can still draft good players no matter where they are. Other teams do it. I mean, they got to get better at drafting forwards. I mean, you just had another first-round pick that flamed out. You have another first-round pick right now that apparently you don't think is good enough to be on your NHL roster at the moment. And that doesn't mean that he's all of a sudden going to become some bust. I don't know what's going to happen with Philip Tomasino, but you got to get better at drafting forwards. It's been a problem.
Yeah.
You mentioned the wave of young players. There's not much there right now.
Right. And I mean, even in terms of defensemen, I mean, that's been where you've been churning for a long time, just tremendous talent, a surplus of talent. Right. And so, and obviously in some cases you've dealt guys, but yeah, it's, I mean, the Preds Titans comparison right now, one, not especially entertaining. To, you know, and this is it's new territory for the Titans. It's old territory for the Preds. Of okay, good enough to get in, maybe, but then are you good enough to do anything? Well, this team may not be good enough to get in.
It may not.
And if that's the case, then obviously massive changes have got to come somewhere.
You would think so. Let's go back to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in Bob from Antioch. Bob, thanks for calling in.
Good morning, guys. To me, the chief concern for the Predators is overall lack of team speed. They just really don't seem to match up, especially, obviously, with a team like Edmonton. But we just look really slow. I know we've got the reputation for being a heavy team. You hear other teams talk about the fact we're a heavy team to play against. When they went from Laviolette to Hines, Do you think that's when they transitioned from a fast team to a quote-unquote heavy team? And do you think that's when the speed started to, for lack of a better term, evaporate? Because I really think we're slow. I'd like y'all's comments on that.
Hey, thanks for the call, Bob. I mean, look, certainly I don't think it's any secret. When John Hines took over, they wanted to be bigger. They wanted to be more physical. And I think you do sacrifice speed when you do that. Now, I will say, toward the end of Laviolette's tenure here, I didn't think they were overly fast either. Like, they weren't as big, and they weren't as physical. I didn't think they were necessarily fast either.
Well, you had a guy like Arvidsson who was banged up and was kind of diminishing, right?
I mean, Kyle Turris wasn't really fast. I mean, you know, I say all that to say, like, I agree, especially in the game last night, they look slow. Now, you're playing McDavid and Draisaitl. You're going to look slow. I mean, those guys are operating at a different level. I don't know that my takeaway on a nightly basis from the Predators is, well, they're just too slow. I think at times they have been. I think a lot of that is execution with the puck. I think you look a whole lot faster when you can execute what you're trying to do with the puck. And right now, they're having a tough time doing that. I mean, Willie and C-Mace have brought this up on the TV broadcast a lot, too. You know, they can't hit the net. They're shooting the puck, and less than 50% of their chances are going on net. It's 31st in the league. You can't hit the net, and you got transition going the other way, you're going to look slow a lot. Got to hit the net.
Yeah, look, I do think, obviously, they got heavier. John Hines wants them to be heavier, things like that, so that's their style more. Yeah, I think some of this also is, and first of all, I think you're totally right. This is, you're big on the, you know, if you actually go tape to tape on some of these passes, you look faster, right? You move the puck fast with efficiency, and you look faster as a team. But I think some of these guys also are older, just like we've been talking about. Like some of these guys aren't as fast as they were individually 3-4 years ago. So I think there's a lot of factors there. But I totally understand what Bob's looking at. And, yeah, when you play Edmonton, that's where it really gets magnified.
Let's go back to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Matt from Virginia. Matt, thanks for calling in.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. So I can't believe that we're still having this conversation with, you know, David Poile and, you know, the calls to fire John Hines. You know, I don't know what kind of person watches this team consistently that thinks that David Poile picking another coach at this point is a good idea. I mean, just a weird statistic to throw at you. The Predators only have 7 of the last 59 picks that they've made in the last 14 draft classes. Now, I know that's not fair to include, you know, this last year's class, but you only have 7 of 59 players that have worked out. You've just got, you know, Connor Ingram left for nothing, and then Ellie Tolvanen left for nothing. This team is just, I wish there were more fans and more calls to kind of lose a couple of battles to win a war, you know, and get serious about rebuilding and trying to build something that's going to win a championship in this city. So
thanks for the call, Matt.
Matt, where in Virginia are you from?
Well, I used to be Matt from Pensacola, but now I'm in Norfolk because I'm Navy, so I move around a lot.
There we go. Nice. Thanks for the call, Matt. Well, look, I agree with pretty much everything Matt just said there. I mean, and you brought it up, if it keeps going this way and they end up not making the playoffs, I don't know how we could sit here and have conversations about staying the course. Like, I feel like if you can't make the playoffs with this team, at some point, if you're ownership, you've got to recognize that the direction needs to be changed. And I agree, like, the idea of David Poile surviving all this and hiring another coach to me just
absurd.
Seems absurd. And, you know, look, I think people have overblown it with David Poile a little bit. I mean, there's a reason he's been around as long as he had and has won as many games as he has. The fact of the matter is they've been past the second round of the playoffs one time in the history of their franchise, and he's been here the whole time. Like, that does not happen in professional sports. So I'm really interested to see how this team responds. Coming up next, you'll hear from Nashville Predators defenseman Mattias Ekholm. You're listening to Preds Insiders here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back.
back in. Preds Insiders here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley here with you on this Wednesday evening. We caught up with Nashville Predators defenseman Mattias Ekholm this morning on Robbie and Rex Road and got his thoughts on where the team is, where their game is as a whole right now, and how to get things moving in the right direction as they move forward here, beginning in Winnipeg coming up tomorrow night. Here was that conversation from this morning with Predators defenseman Mattias Ekholm. Mattias, good morning. How are we doing?
Good morning, guys. I'm good. How are you?
We're good. Really appreciate you taking time to be with us. So, obviously, Mattias, the game did not go the way that you guys wanted it to last night, particularly with McDavid and Draisaitl. Obviously, they give everybody a lot of issues out there. What's the challenge just from a player's point of view of trying to slow those two down?
Yeah, it's a good question. It's something that we haven't figured out here in the last 7 or 8 games against them. So they're the two best players in the world. And McDavid, I think they're different too. I think with McDavid, it's pretty obvious. It's the speed it's just really hard to contain. And he has mixed that with his skill of his hands and his brain. So, I mean, he is the best player in the world, and you kind of got to try to keep him to the outside and really be cautious with the puck when you're playing against them. And Draisaitl, elite passer, probably one of the, if not the best passer in the game, and trying to stay on him too. There's no really secret recipes to these guys. You kind of gotta play them pretty hard and take away their time and space, which is the challenge when they have those skill sets.
Mattias, I know that it's it's the next morning, so you guys will do more evaluation of last night, I'm sure, later today. But like from your perspective, like did you guys make a bunch? I know obviously the power play is what you don't want to have happen, right? And when they get the power play, they're definitely the best power play in the league. But do you feel like you guys misplayed things last night, or it was just basically they were too good in certain spots?
Well, I think 5-on-5, we were fine. I actually kind of liked our 5-on-5 game. I didn't necessarily dislike it. I think the special teams was the big factor last night. I mean, they had 2 opportunities on the power play. They scored 2, and we had a lot of opportunities, and we didn't score. It's a 2-goal difference in the game. So at the end of the night, I think that's where we have to be better, and I'm a part of both of them. So I take big honest in that, and that's something we have to figure out. But other than that, 5-on-5, I thought, it wasn't, I didn't feel like maybe they were a little bit better than us in the first, but in the second, I thought we had some really good opportunities. I mean, we scored 2 goals and we got some momentum. But right now it's the last 3 games here. It seems like every time we make a mistake, it ends up in the back of our net, and that's something that we have to change.
Well, Mattias, you've been around here a long time. You've played a lot of hockey. You know what it takes to win at this level. As you sit here and just kind of dissect the way that you guys have been playing so far this season, where do you think you guys are as a team in terms of getting the results going back your way more often than not?
Yeah, obviously it hasn't. So we have to be better in that regard. There's always the hockey is a funny game that way. Sometimes I think you play well enough to deserve 2 points, and I certainly think we played like that in St. Louis a couple nights ago. And then there's going to be nights where you maybe get away with a win, maybe didn't deserve it. So at where we're at right now, it's a matter of us finding. I think goal scoring is a big part of why we haven't been winning games lately. I think defensively we've been pretty good. So it's again hockey. We have a lot of games left, and there's we have to evaluate what we're not doing right at the moment. But at the same time, there's a lot of games. There's big games coming up this week, and we know we're not that far off a playoff spot. So it's a matter of hanging in there right now and making sure you don't let it slip too much and just keep getting. You got to build momentum somehow and string some wins together, and then the results and the playoff spot will take care of itself.
How much, Mattias, is the power play a part of that? How much of a part of that, I guess, is the power play in terms of confidence? Because it was so good, obviously, for you guys. And I know last night was a little bit different look there. You guys have tried different things. It just has been so different last year to this year. Two questions on that. How big is this that if you can get it going? And how surprised are you that it has been the struggle it's been this season?
No, it's a big part of the game, but not only just to score on the power play. I think a lot of times when you have guys that scores a lot of goals, they're going to score a lot on the power play, and with that comes confidence, not just with your power play, it comes with the five-on-five game as well. And the power play is, when it works, it's one of those places where you can go and find your confidence, even though the five-on-five game isn't working. So it is a big part, and it's a big part of, obviously, I mean, if we can have more goals there, it's going to help us in the team result, but also the player individuals that, I mean, if you score there and you feel good about yourself and you get confidence in your five-on-five game. And to your second part of the question, we haven't had too much personnel change on it, so it is a little bit surprising that we haven't found our way yet. Again, it's still early in the season, and there's still a lot of hockey to be left to play, and everyone is aware of that we need to be better on it, so hopefully we can turn it around. It's a long season, so that's what we're working for.
Preds defenseman Matthias Ekholm with us here on Robbie and Rex Road.
Do you feel like, like you said, different people revolving doors, so that's not easy, but do you feel like, I guess, just sort of the defensive structure, communication, responsibility, all that stuff, do you think that's been progressing in the last couple of weeks, Matthias?
I think defensively, if you look at the games we've played in the last, weeks, I would say it's not been a, I mean, we haven't lost games because we're conceding 5, 6, 7 goals. So I think the defensive part has been pretty good. And obviously our goaltenders are a huge part of that. And they both played really well. So I think defensively we've been fine. I think it's a matter of finding we need to score some goals to win games. And I mean, St. Louis was that prime example of it, where it's a 0-0 game all the way to the end. I mean, all we needed was one, but it didn't happen for us. So it's obviously a confidence thing. It's obviously a thing that we're working on, and if we can get back to that, obviously, as you mentioned last year, it was quite the opposite. So, but that's hockey also sometimes. It comes and goes, and it's a long season, so hopefully we can find it here real soon.
Matthias, last thing for you here. You got Winnipeg coming up tomorrow, Colorado on Saturday. Just the importance of these two games in the division on the road, and in particular with Winnipeg, what stands out to you about them as you guys prepare for them for tomorrow?
Yeah, that's been the good part about the schedule here as of late, that there seemed to be a new game coming. I mean, within, if not a day, 2 days, and they're big games as well, and even division and wild card teams that we've played here. So, we haven't played Winnipeg again yet this year, so I don't really know. All I've seen is that they're doing really well, and it's the usual top guys that we'll have to take a look at and see what we can do to defend them and keep them at bay. But other than that, I'm excited for two big games, and it'll be a big weekend for us.
Well, Matthias, you're always gracious with your time. Really appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. Good luck in Winnipeg, and we'll talk to you soon.
Awesome. Have a good day, guys.
Thanks to Matthias Ekholm for joining us here on the show. Coming up next, we'll wrap up the show with another edition of Keezer's Corner with Nick Keezer. That's next. This is Preds Insiders on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day here on Preds Insiders, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, brought to you by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling. And as we do every week here on the program, we welcome in our good friend Nick Keezer to the program for another edition of Keezer's Corner. Nick, take it away.
Indeed, it is that time, Robbie, and I'm glad to be back here for another edition of Keezer's Corner, reacting to the Nashville Predators' 6-3 loss to the Oilers. It was a very dominant game from the Edmonton Oilers. Their power play demonstrated why they were the number one in the league, converting at 30% of the time. And we saw Zach Hyman get his first career hat trick. His first career hat trick after playing with the Toronto Maple Leafs. I mean, goodness gracious, that guy was on fire tonight. And not to mention, you had guys like Draisaitl and McDavid, who continued their great success against the Nashville Predators, who, Robbie, you know all too well, own the Nashville Predators here in the last 12 or 10 games, or really however long you want to look back in their careers playing against us. They dominate it, and it's not even fair. So you have to look at the grand scheme of things this evening and address what we have, what they have to deal with. And the Predators have a lot of injuries right now. I know since we last had our Preds insiders, we have now lost a couple of more defensemen on the back end. So against the Ottawa Senators, we lost Alexander Carrier and we lost Jeremy Lauzon. So the Nashville Predators had not a great time against the Ottawa Senators, losing those two guys for the third period. And needless to say, it's going to be a really tough stretch of hockey. And we already knew it was going to be tough, but now it's even tougher without them. Plus, you don't have Mark Borowiecki. Oh, and I completely almost left him out. But Ryan McDonagh is out as well. So the Nashville Predators are going to be facing a lot of divisional opponents. It's a lot of Western Conference heavy teams in this rest of the December stretch. So we'll see how the Predators can kind of bounce back after falling here in their last three games. So I'm interested to see that. But more importantly, the slate ahead here for the Nashville Predators includes facing the Winnipeg Jets on Thursday night, tomorrow at 7 o'clock, pregame at 6. So we saw the Winnipeg Jets lose to the Vegas Golden Knights 6-5, yet Mark Scheifele had a hattie against the Golden Knights and was unable to pull his team to victory, which was very depressing on their end. But needless to say, for the Predators' sake, they've got a team that lost. And but also, you look at it and go, oh, the Jets scored 5 goals tonight. So we're going to have to hold another team that's been hot lately on the ice. Now, given it's one game for them, and I understand that. But when you think of who you have coming up and it's a divisional opponent who is always pissed off when they play you, the Jets are not going to have any remorse for these Nashville Predators. So I'm just waiting to see what that result looks like. How can John Hines continue to work his magic with the lineup? Because it seems to be a different lineup almost every single game here in the last week or so. So we'll see how they truly go up against the Winnipeg Jets. I mean, it might be pretty similar to what we got against the Ottawa Senators in that third period. But don't expect too much from this Nashville Predators team, guys. I mean, anyone listening out there will know we're not a great team right now. We're banged up. Not everybody's playing the best hockey like they should be right now. And one thing I noted, Robbie, was in the third period, Matt Duchene had 3 shifts. Mikael Granlund had 5. Philip Forsberg had 5 shifts as well. Edmonton had 32 scoring chances overall in the game. Those two things don't correlate, but my point is the Nashville Predators are paying a lot of their scoring forwards, $5 million plus. And I know easily Johansson, Duchene, and Forsberg make $8 million per year right now. Loud and clear, $8 million a year. So it's not looking great for what the Predators have versus what the Predators should have on the ice. And it's very frustrating if you're a Predators fan right now. I understand. So the Nashville Predators are going to have a lot of adjustments. What will those be? It's going to be a lot of internal confidence, and it's going to be a lot of adjustment playing on the ice. And it's no simpler than that, and it's going to come down to coaching as well. John Hines does not seem to be as big of an issue as fans make him out to be right now, and a lot of people are going to disagree with me on that. But it has a lot to do with their self-confidence. And this group this time last year, a guy like Roman Josi had 27 points. 27! And tonight, you know, he plays against the Oilers and they lose 6-3. So, you know, getting on the score sheet doesn't really help that much this evening. A guy like McDavid, he continued his point streak to 10 games tonight. So if you can't shut a guy down like that, you're going to have some problems. I know he's the perennial guy. He's a generational talent. And this is not a measuring stick game for the Predators by any stretch of the imagination, but it is in the sense of where the Predators want to be. Now, how distant in the future is that? I don't know. But right now it's looking like it's 5 to freaking 10 years. That's how it feels, you know? Going up against a team that has a goaltender that is struggling, who is 7-6 and has a 4.12 goals against average, man, that's a game you want back if you're the Nashville Predators. So dropping two games to the Oilers here in this part of the season. Oh, and I checked my calendar. Guess who the Predators play the night before we record another Preds Insiders? They play the Oilers. Oh my goodness. Absolutely insane. So we're going to see this same team roll around and play against us once again. So Preds fans are going to have to get used to seeing the Navy and the Orange. I'll just leave it at that. You're going to see a lot of them here in the next week. So it's not over, sadly. So, and I just want to point this out too for the Predators' struggles here as of late. This month, in December, they are now 2-for-19 at the time of recording this on the power play. I have said this multiple times on this show. When the Predators' power play looks depressing, I always post that Simpsons gif of a ball being passed around in a soccer game where nobody does anything, and that's exactly what the Predators look like right now, okay? It truly does. So, man, they have a lot of problems. That is definitely one of them. Their top six forwards who aren't playing like top six forwards are not scoring, and it is looking abysmal, as Derek Mason puts it sometimes. Abysmal. So, there's that. And one other thing I want to point out that's maybe positive in some regard is the fact that Cole Smith has drawn now 10 penalties in his 27 games played here in Nashville. The reason I'm bringing him up, and it really makes no sense, I know there's no context necessarily for me bringing him up, but the merit for me bringing him up to our listeners is when you draw penalties and you give your team a chance to score a goal on the man advantage, that's a lot to ask for a guy that's Cole Smith. Cole Smith does not have any goals for the Nashville Predators, but he does have 6 assists, and he will fight for your team. And arguably, he's the guy that fits the identity for this team right now. And that's really sad to say, because that's a guy that fights every single night. So we'll see how the Predators can do once they get healthy. But right now, Robbie, that's how we kind of look. And I know that you and I have talked, and you know, this is not a good hockey team right now. They are not fantastic. So I'm interested to see how they can even attempt to look better. One other thing that I want to point out here too is the Nashville Predators are now 2-2 when wearing their reverse retro jersey. Just a cool little stat of the night here for you. I do want to share one clip from head coach John Hines talking about when they do play the Oilers, why they are so good, and what stands out to them about them.
Well, I think one is, you know, that line, we've had a hard time containing them, whether, you know, with matchups and guys being able to play against those guys and be able to shut them down on a regular basis. And that's, you know, that's given us problems. And, you know, their power play is dynamic, and, you know, they seem to, you know, they find ways to be able to score in a lot of the games. That's been the difference. It's been McDavid's line and the power play.
That was Predators head coach John Hines following the 6-3 loss. And to wrap it up, that's simply just what the Edmonton Oilers are. They're great on the power play. They got McDavid and Draisaitl, who just completely own the Nashville Predators. It is insane how good they are. I believe Leon Draisaitl has 22 goals and 22 games played against the Nashville Predators now. And Connor McDavid, man, that man just tears it up. Simply put, he had a phenomenal goal this evening, putting it between the legs of Dante Fabbro, who played in his 200th game, by the way, may I note. So the Nashville Predators do have a couple of small things that bring some merit to my conversation here this evening. But man, this team looks bad right now. So hopefully they can turn it around here and fix it. How will they do that? We will see here in the coming days and weeks. So Robbie, I turn things back over to you to close out this show.
All righty, thanks, Nick. And the Predators back in action coming up on Thursday night against the Winnipeg Jets. They'll be on the road against the Jets, on the road on Saturday night against the Colorado Avalanche, back at home next Monday taking on Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl, and the Edmonton Oilers again. As we know,
a matchup that's not gone very well for the Predators as of late. The Blackhawks next week and the Avalanche back at home next Friday night. So lots of big games, lots of important games coming up over the next little bit here for the Nashville Predators, and we'll see how they respond on that front. Big test here for the Predators. This is a point of the season where, you know, they're not out of it by any stretch of the imagination, and just because or if they don't do well over the course of the next couple weeks doesn't mean they can't get back in it. But in my opinion, these are a crucial next couple of weeks against Central Division opponents, against Western Conference opponents, and against a lot of teams that you're going to be fighting for playoff spots and battling down the stretch with. So if you're the Predators, can you rise up here and get a little bit better offensively and find a way to win some of these games? It's going to be interesting to see if they can do that beginning on Thursday against the Winnipeg Jets. That does it for us today here on Preds Insiders. We'll be back next Wednesday night. Hope everybody has a great week, great rest of their time, and a happy holiday season as well. This is Preds Insiders here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game.